Five generations ago, a handful of my great-great-greats planted their pitchforks in the dust of southeastern Montana and never left. I've come to learn that most people probably conjure up a more accurate picture of what Montana was then than what it is now.
This land has a name today and is marked on maps. Five generations ago, a mere 125 years back, this land was known only as the West.
For me, it's a place where 9 out of 10 13-year-olds are enrolled in a hunter safety course. You start driving long before you have a license, and you sip out of your grandpa's Budweiser at the age of 3. It's not out of the ordinary to settle down and have kids before you turn 20, and traveling more often refers to shopping at the Costco in Billings than catching some sun in Cabo. Granted, when you're in Montana, surrounded by hills and cliffs that imitate the colors of sunsets, and glassy clean rivers and mountainsides covered in every shade of wildflower, it can be hard to leave. My family found a lifestyle they love in Montana. We sort of spread across the state, but we never really crossed the border. Except, 4 years ago, I did something drastic. I packed my bags and moved into a dormitory in Providence, Rhode Island. Meeting people in those first weeks of college, I would ask people where they were from. And they would always reply New York or Connecticut, Massachusetts, California. When I replied Montana, I started to feel like I was witnessing a shoot-'em-up scene out of a Western flash across their eyes.
You men, throw away everything we don't need.
Go tell July we're ready.
July?
To the people I was meeting on those old bricked sidewalks, leaning against the ivied gates, those symbols of good New England education, Montana could have been the Amazon.
Mid the plains of old Montana lives
a Montana.
Lacey's the only person I know from Montana.
People smoking cigarettes. Marble reds.
It's snowy.
And cattle.
And you can drink a beer in Montana, can't you, when you drive? Or you used to be able to, which is awesome.
Imagine large expanses, fruited plains.
I have no idea, Lacey. I just, like, know so little.
Anyone's got a horse, obviously. It's the best way to get around in Montana.
Main Street in a small town, and...
What's a city in Montana? Are there cities in Montana? Is there an airport there?
I guess I knew on some level that people thought these things, but until then, Montana was just the place where I grew up. It was the place where I was dying to leave when I was 17. It was where I learned to drive and had my first kiss and did all of those normal, universal coming-of-age-in-America things. I thought it was absurd that my new friends could only imagine Montana as a backdrop for a John Wayne movie, where people still only eat side pork and beans. Then I started receiving these really odd letters from my grandfather. They were single, unlined pages, handwritten in my grandpa's scrawling all caps. There was no punctuation, and spelling has never been his forte, but there was something about them. Well, this was the first. Dear granddaughter, and there's no punctuation in this, so... I'll do my best. Hope this gets to you before you graduate. As you know, the mail goes to Minneapolis by Pony Express. Thought I would let you know I discovered where rap came from. Your grandmother's head lice got going real good, so I waited till it warmed up to 30 below, and I took her down to the river and chopped a hole in the ice and put her in. When I let her go, I swear she was singing and dancing rap. Oh well, got rid of lice. That's a good thing. We ran out of side pork and beans, so had to go to town. Got attacked by Indians, shot one of them, took $100 from him, your lucky day. Love, Grandpa Tyler. I was completely baffled. The letters came completely unannounced, but for some reason, I didn't really want an explanation, so I never asked. I hung the first one on my wall and showed it off to my friends. I was in love with it. It was as if my grandpa had been transported into a profoundly strange, completely fictional Western movie. They were completely off the wall, but I was beginning to think of Montana in an entirely different way. It didn't bother me when people asked if I rode horses to school. I started playing it up. I listened to country music, talking about the rodeos I'd been to. I was becoming the Western girl I never was when I actually lived there. With every passing month, my budding nostalgia grew into a fully declared obsession. Within a year, I was basically introducing myself as Montana Lacey, genuine cowgirl, with the zeal of the newly converted. Okay, slight exaggeration.
I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. I wanna learn to rope and to ride. I wanna ride o'er the plains and the desert, out west of the great divide. I wanna hear the coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west. I wanna be a cowboy sweetheart. That's the life.
3 years later, I finally decided it was time to ask my grandpa about the letters.
Hello.
Hey, Grandpa.
Oh, I didn't think it was you. I didn't recognize the number.
Oh, I'm calling from a different number.
Oh.
So I was going through some old stuff the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember sending me those letters when I was a freshman in college?
Yeah, in fact, I was thinking about that the other day.
Why did you send me those letters? What spurred you on to do that?
Oh, I was just having fun. Trying to make you homesick, I think, if I remember right.
I think you succeeded.
Well, and a lot of it I was just trying to, you know. I think the first or second time you come home, you'd said something about them. The people back there thought we were still fighting Indians out here, and so that's where a lot of it come from. Oh yeah, they do. They think we're hicks and hillbillies. And...
Well, are you?
Yeah, I like it that way.
I suppose, in some ways, thanks to you and your letters, I sort of romanticize the place a little bit.
Oh, I suppose, and. Of course, it's what you make it, you know, because you've been in a totally different lifestyle, you know, from what Missoula is to Providence. I can't imagine. I'm just guessing what it's like.
I always sort of imagine your childhood as being like Huckleberry Finn.
It was. Oh, yeah, I was a renegade. I don't know if I ever told you, my sister's friend who moved away when, I don't know, I was about 8 years old, I guess, when she moved away, and I didn't see her again until about 10 years ago. And she come up to me and she says, you know, you were a little shit ass. I said, thank you.
When he tells a story, there's something about his delivery that makes it hard not to believe him. I still am never sure whether or not to believe a word he says. Just listen to this one.
In seventh grade, I had to take seventh grade over because I was working after school in a chicken hatchery. And
one of his jobs was to clean the trays at the bottom of the cages and take the trash to the city dump. It just so happened that one day the other workers had been drinking beer instead of working. That meant that my grandpa had to do all of the work and wasn't able to make his trip to the dump until after dark.
And I hit a big old cottonwood tree. But anyway, it broke my foot, broke every bone in my foot, and cut my knee real bad.
Oh my God, Grandpa, when you were in seventh grade?
I didn't go to school the rest of that year, so I had to take seventh grade over.
So instead of going to the seventh grade, he started to make night deliveries. He drove a truck between two eastern Montana towns, Miles City and Baker, delivering bread and milk.
There were 90-pound cans that I was throwing around when I was in my second year in the seventh grade.
I asked him if anyone cared that they were sending a 13-year-old behind the wheel of a truck in the middle of the night.
No. In them days, the mischief you got into was maybe stealing a pie that some old gal had sitting on the windowsill.
The rolling hill.
These stories that my grandpa tells me, no matter if they're true or not, have become my mythology. His life story is the story of Montana, at least for me. When he was growing up in the late 40s and 50s, his sisters wore dresses made out of old feed sacks, and they didn't have indoor plumbing until he was 15. He married my grandmother in 1960, when she was 14 and he was 17. Neither of them graduated from high school, but they worked and saved and worked and raised some kids and then some grandkids and managed to build themselves a lovely home smack dab in the middle of a postcard-perfect landscape. They live simply, happy with what they have, never aspiring to more than what they need.
That means if your belly's full and your bills are paid, you're happy. You got a warm place to crawl in at night. That's all you need.
Fields of grain to the open night.
We look at each other and think, well, how the hell did we ever get here, Grandma? We started out at 17 and 14, it's just been a ride, I guess. That's how Grandma refers to it. It's been one great ride. So.
It is truly wonderful to be able to identify yourself with a place like Montana. But the thing about it is, these stories, they're myths. Maybe there was a parcel of truth to them back when my grandpa was a kid, but now things have just changed. What are your hopes for the future of Montana?
Oh, I don't really have any hopes for the future of Montana.
Why not?
It's not the Montana that I knew. So it's gradually being rolled over into something else, and that's what it'll be, you know. And that's called progress, you know. You can't deny it, you know. It's gonna come. So.
The West that was won by its pioneers, settlers, adventurers is long gone now. Yet it is theirs forever. For they left tracks in history that will never be eroded by wind or rain, never plowed under by tractors, never buried in the compost of events. Out of the hard simplicity of their lives, out of their vitality, their hopes, and their sorrows, grew legends of courage and pride to inspire their children and their children's children.
I'm not here to bemoan this march of progress. Okay, maybe a little bit. I do want to say, though, that the gap between the Montana of my imagination and the Montana that I can visit is not insurmountable. I can cross it every time I talk to my grandpa or walk in the mountains. I am so happy I got to grow up there, and I can't imagine being from anywhere else. And if anyone wants to call me Montana Lacey, genuine cowgirl, I definitely won't object.
Tonight in this big, busy city, mid the thousands, I'm lost and alone. And my thoughts keep drifting back to you, dear. And the old western home I have known. When the flowers of Montana.